Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
You know, we got to think of an opening.
Don't they play something before we go on?
They play something.
The big voice guy?
Does something, you know, hand stuff. And I mean, there are definite, signals for this.
Yeah.
What we get are what Sicilian hand gestures.
Right.
Which I think
somebody doing jumping jacks off screen.
How about we come on and live long and prosper? That's been done.
Your advertisement here.
Hey, I want to ask you something.
Now,
just for the heck of it, there's no trick here at all. If I say, thank you, Bob, for being here today, what would you likely say in return?
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jim.
Okay, that's not what I had in mind.
No?
No. The reason is, some people would say, no problem.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty much part of the vernacular.
Yeah. So here's the story. University of Michigan State University has ordered that no one on the campus says no problem to other people.
As a response.
As a response.
Huh.
Now, the reason is, it was in a presentation they called Inclusive and Culturally Sensitive Service. An official said saying no problem is a trigger that could lead a person to believe that they could have a problem. Who thinks up this stuff?
Well, glad to be here, and I'm glad it's not a problem.
Oh, man. So what else is
going
on?
It could be a problem, but it's not.
I had mentioned something this morning, and when we were communicating,
yes.
and
is this what the shaming?
Yeah,
thing?
The shaming.
You piqued our interest here.
Yeah, I got everybody's
talking
interest.
About this.
I said one of the things we talk about is now what's skivvy shaming.
Right. Yeah.
Now
we've had fat shaming. We've had
food
shaming.
Food shaming. We had sweat shaming last week. We got size shaming. We got ethnic shaming. We got. All kind of, fart shaming for somebody who does something naughty on a crowded elevator,
and now,
then everybody points and says, yeah. But now we have skivvy shaming. Here's the story. I get this from a magazine called The Week. It says, a new survey shows that 45% of Americans admit to having worn the same pair of underwear for two consecutive days or more. 13%... have not changed their underwear in a week.
Okay.
So, and I imagine there are people, there's the risk is run there, that it could get a little gamey. And somebody could say, ew.
Right.
And that would be shaming.
Well, I guess you have to
don't do that.
Wait until it happens.
Yeah.
But I want to know, who are the people that are actually disclosing that they don't change their underwear for multiple days?
I have no idea, but it's amazing now, the information you get from probably online, because, you know, they mine for information. And people are prone to sit there with an online survey, and they think that that's just between me and the survey. They don't realize this is going everywhere.
You mean people are... I guess people are doing the sniff test, right?
Well, this
smells good to me.
You can do
it. Let's give it another day.
But the lesson here is, if you want to be politically correct, and of course we all do.
Right.
No one wants to violate the new order. And so if somebody is getting so gamey that you have trouble getting near them.
Okay.
Well, you see, anybody who rides a subway during rush hour would agree with this survey. there's no question about it.
Well, there's no wonder reasons that people go commando, so they don't have to deal with the shaming thing.
Go commando?
Yeah.
What's that?
No skivvies.
Oh.
So you don't have to change every day.
Well, then I would say they probably don't bathe either. Because what would be the point? You're back to the same thing.
Right.
Hey, there we go. Bath shaming. Oh, God. So what's going on here in the great Garden State of New Jersey? Hot? Still?
Yeah, a little bit. Tropical. Yeah. We got the approaching remnants of the hurricane going off the coast.
Yeah, this is a Thursday, and I think it's expected to, tomorrow we should
tomorrow,
feel some
effects. That'll be the heaviest weather day.
Yeah.
A lot of swells and things like that. But I don't know about you, but it's like, you know, the modern technology of forecasting is great, but people along the coastline have just got to probably be exhausted by all of the hurricane. I mean, it's that storm, Dorian, ran so slowly over the Bahamas, just wreaked havoc.
That's a terrible thing.
But yeah, that's horrible. But it's like the storm has gone so slowly, and it's been on people's radar for the last 8 to 10 days now. People have been talking about it along, for several states. It's been number one topic.
We had two stories this week that pointed out something to me, which is the most disgusting part of media right now. And that is when you are looking online, you're getting your news online, and you see a story, and if you can click on the major stories they have, you get the story, maybe a visual. But then they'll have also extra visuals, videos or what have you. And if you click on them to get more information, you have to sit through a 30-second commercial.
Yes.
And some of this stuff, this has been getting my goat for years. A lot of stuff I don't watch, I can't, because I can't sit there doing that. You had two big stories. One is the 35 people who were killed in that terrible boat accident.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
In San Francisco. We still don't know about that. And the other one was, of course, the devastation of the Bahamas.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, I'd like to see a little bit more about that. I want to see. And so I went, first of all, I think it was right after the boat accident happened. How could I get more detail? Well, first comes up, I have to sit there for 30 seconds while some stupid people are dancing around selling some air guitar video game. And then you go to 35 people dying. What the hell sort of indecency causes greed to that extent? How much is somebody making on that commercial? That sort of, in your mind, it undercuts. And the same thing that happened with the Bahama thing. I'm gonna watch some, they say, click here, devastation. Yeah. I click, and all of a sudden, hemorrhoid sufferers, here's proof.
Right.
The hell with you, some hemorrhoid sufferers. That's, there are people who died, this is devastation.
Yeah.
And you see that all the time. They'll have the most frivolous stuff, cars. Especially, notably, because I guess a lot of this is locally done. But you want to click on a terrible tragedy, and it's set up. Mm-hmm. Now, you can imagine people watching that. The mind gets into the set of the never-to-be-surpassed great cars, end-of-the-season car sale. And then you go into the tragedy. Well, it undercuts that. My worst experience with that was going back a few years. Remember, they had this terrible story of the ISIS, the Islamic group. Mm-hmm. I believe it was in Libya. They were beheading Christians.
Right.
And they had them all paraded out on the beach. I mean, how much horrible can something get? And yet, when I clicked on that to see, and I didn't want to watch it. God knows I didn't want to see that. But just as a matter of information, I wanted some background on it. So I clicked on a story on it. Here they come. Bunch of idiots out there dancing around in fruit costumes or something. And then you're going to one of the most horrible atrocities. Anyway, got it off my chest. Mm. On my head, I didn't forget the grip hat. I have it.
Oh, you got it?
I think I'm going to retire the grip hat as one of those great ideas of man that never quite happened. Like, love thy neighbor and peace on earth. Get rid of incumbent politicians.
I think these immortal
things.
I think you made some inroads with that. Program and that campaign, but just unfortunate that it didn't go nationwide, because I think you were onto something there.
Well, it wouldn't make any difference, really, because, see, I don't know if it's an epiphany or not, but we tend to talk about these things and the terrible things that are being done to us and how our lives are being, certainly lessened by the activities in the world. And you wonder just where all this is going. And it's a tendency to get upset with people. Why the apathy, the scream apathy? You're apathetic. Thomas Jefferson said all it needs for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And good people are doing nothing. Why? Well, it occurred to me, because eventually I had to ask myself, what am I doing other than wearing a hat that says get rid of incumbent politicians? So you're doing a little something. You're trying to keep these things alive.
Now you're voting, but you're doing your part. Right?
But the point is that I think people feel helpless. This is the problem. And everybody can fire right back, and I could tell you, and probably will this morning, some real atrocious things that are going on that do concern you. One, really, that I will get into here is going on right now, and there is a possibility that because of the actions of a political leader, there could be more people die than were killed by Hitler and Mao Zedong and Stalin.
Really?
More people could die as a result of that. But anyway, I'll get to that. But then you have to say, what can I do? And I don't have the answer to that. You know, you say, go vote. For whom? Tweedledum or Tweedledee.
Yeah, that's true.
Is what happens. Oh, it's back to the hat quickly. So I'm wearing a Porsche hat today.
It's one of your favorite vehicles.
Well,
right?
it's in memoriam too to my Boxster. See, times got
the
hard.
The silver one.
Times are hard. I'm down to one Porsche, and sometimes it's pointed in the wrong direction.
Is that first world or second world problems?
No, but the thing is, I had this beautiful Boxster, silver Boxster. You saw the car.
It's a beaut.
It was destroyed by mice.
That was a crazy story, Jim.
And people, I talk about that, and people say, yeah, I had that happen with a squirrel, but not mice. What happened with the car that I'm told, as best I could figure out, in Stuttgart, where the car was made, they put in the wiring harnesses and the wiring, they rub cornmeal on it to make it slide easier. And then when it gets here and it sits out covered in the yard, the mice discover the... They sniff cornmeal
and
say, done some chewing in the wiring. Oof. This was in and out of shops. One, a dealer with a person, a mechanic that I really respected, they had that for 4 months trying to figure out why you're riding down the street and all of a sudden all the lights start flashing and the engine cuts out. Yeah. That's a little dangerous thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they could never find it. So finally, I fortunately ran into a German mechanic who said, oh, I can fix it. So he bought it from me, and took a little bit of a licking, but at least something there.
Right.
Didn't just have this beautiful hunk of metal sitting out there being devoured slowly by mice. Anyway, I might as well jump into that story I was talking about with the
While we're on GRIP, people are saying on Facebook here that they hate to see the GRIP campaign go. And Doug says, where can he get one of those GRIP hats?
Well,
we ever manufactured those.
No. See, at one time back in the early days of this station, the company used to make things like that, made them available. Then that slowly, I guess, management changes and the like and things went on. And they did not do that anymore. So... a friend made this for me. Somebody made this for me, a kind person. They had it done at, well, these shops, you know, in malls.
Is that Vince?
No, this was somebody else. But Vince Ordini, yeah, he would have.
Okay.
Speaking of, whatever happened to Vince Ordini, Vince was one of our good friends in the morning show. Every Thursday was Vince Ordini Donut Day.
Yeah.
Now, I say whatever happened. I know what happened. He's doing very, very well. But he's not bringing donuts in anymore.
No. That stopped a while back.
Okay. But getting to, here's the story. In Brazil, they have a president whose name is Bolsonaro. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Okay. President Bolsonaro of Brazil. He is the person who said, I talked about this, he came out with this idea, people were complaining about that they were losing the rainforests in Brazil, which is so important. And he said, that's nothing. If people want to do something about saving the planet, the ecology, they should poop every other day. Remember that?
Yes, all right. Yeah. Now it's coming back to me.
Now,
right?
The thing is, we think our president says silly things. Finally, we got a guy who out-trumps Trump.
Right.
When it comes
He's
to
telling you,
rather
tell you hold it in for a day, right?
I have no idea. He didn't go into details. I don't know what you do, but that's up to us. And if we don't do it, then we are helping destroy the ecology. But here's what he's doing now. You've probably seen stories about this. The Amazon forests are on fire. There are something like thousands of fires going now, burning up. This. Why is this important? Now, the Amazon is home, I'm reading this again, this story, home to 3 million species of plants and animals, and some 400 billion trees in the Amazon. They absorb millions of tons of carbon dioxide every year, crucial when you consider global warming and destruction. We need that destroyed, and they consume it. And they emit about 6% of the Earth's oxygen. The trees are, they respire moisture, pulling fresh water from the ground and cycling it into the air, creating one of the atmospheric rivers of moisture that regulate rainfall across the entire planet, especially in the American Midwest. Hmm. So you're destroying an organ here, if you want, of the Earth, of Gaia's, that is responsible for rain in our heartland, our agricultural land. Yeah. It's sucking up carbon dioxide. So would you not think that you would want to preserve that? Yeah. And I think everybody knows that. I mean, you certainly have heard that before, how we get a large share of our oxygen worldwide. And the air worldwide is becoming so polluted, we can use every bit we can get. Now, they are destroying that. And the reason is, and it's done with the assent of the government. At one time, you could get in trouble by doing that, starting fires. But by destroying that, they are, according to this president, this Bolsonaro, the purpose of that, it's a good thing to destroy the rainforest in the Amazon, because this will open up more land for soybean planting. And soybean is a major industry from Brazil, and a lot of people make a lot of money on it.
Interesting.
So we will destroy this, potentially destroying life on Earth, or certainly our agricultural regions all over the world. I mean, look, you reduce oxygen, and you have left in there the pollutants that are in the air, so you're taking out something here that might balance that out.
Right.
Now, here's another bad thing. You can't say, well, okay, after the fire, we know after forest fires, everything grows back and it's more lush. No. In this case, the Amazon, in other words, the land is not arable. Right? I had a piece here on that. The land is not arable for agriculture after the first crop, because there's so little of the nutrients in that soil,
right,
which is very saline, I would imagine. Somehow they grow soybeans like mad. But once you get a season of that, that's gone. So the whole thing is gone. It doesn't come back for generations.
Yeah.
And so now let me go to another story. This is in South America also. Now picture this. Chile. We don't hear a word about this. The nation of Chile has declared a state of emergency because of drought stretching across the entire country. Skeletal cattle are collapsing and dying on ranches. Boats have been left abandoned in dried up marinas. The region has been suffering from drought since 2010. Scientists say it will get worse. So here is Chile. It's becoming desertized or desertified, whatever you want to call it. And this happens over years. Like the Sahara Desert at one time was very lush with vegetation, as you know. And then it changed. Well, this is what's happening now in Chile. And you combine this. So my thought was, especially when it regards, so you can see the effects of this stuff already, is my point. Now, my thought is that this president, by somehow promoting this policy, could end up with the deaths of more people on planet Earth than Hitler, Stalin, and Mao Zedong ever thought of.
Wow.
And you just wonder, people say, oh, I love my children, I love my grandchildren. This is what is going on right now. And all that, nothing, see, there's all kind of dancing going around in Washington now about this new green policies, but that's only for cutting back emissions in this country.
Yes.
So what do you do about that? I don't know. But I just thought, if you think Donald Trump does some things that are exceedingly curious, moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. This Bolsonaro, I think, is going to outdo him. But I don't hear anybody protesting that.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope I made something of a case here. It's just, it's criminal.
Yeah. So you mentioned in your notes this morning that you wanted to talk about, is talk radio the last avenue for free speech?
Yeah, the last bastion of free speech. I think we are in an historic industry right now. You notice already with the big internet carriers, the Yahoo, Google, Space, or Facebook, and the like, are eliminating, they're editing out any commentary that is, or material that is not right, in the main trend of the progressive
right, they've got,
left,
they've
politically
got,
correct.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Focus words.
Yeah. That, and so they're cut. They're, so
words.
Slowly, any opposition to or anything other than contrary to the progressive party line and the PC party line is being edited out of it. So you're already having this cut down. Now, obviously, the new left, whatever you want to call this, you come up with your own name for it. It's very unfair to include everybody who is liberal or has left, which is fine. There's no problem with that. But this business of enforcing the very furthest extreme of it, they do not take kindly to any kind of opposition at all. Now, what happens when they get into power? Let us say that they go to Washington in 2020. Now, this is not without precedent. And I'll tell you about that in a moment. What will happen if one of the progressives wins? Now, I don't know about if a moderate pops up on the Democratic side, it may be another story. And especially if they have a Congress, they can do this. They will appoint a federal communications commission of people of like ideology. Hmm. They will, the Federal Communication Commission is going, therefore, to step down to put down regulations that will pretty much dampen what we're doing. In other words, just take for example, you probably will not be able, it'll be a fine, to criticize public officials. It's England, they're doing that already. And so I'm sure you're going to get to that. Now, the precedent for cracking down is, during the very beginning of the Obama administration, he appointed a Federal Communications Commission. One of the regulations or edicts that they came up with was that in any community with a licensed broadcast facility, any minority group could come to petition them to take over that operation, that station, if they felt that they were not broadcasting in the interest of that particular minority group. So that meant that any group could get... Now, you might say, well, in a utopian world, that may make some sense. Practically, no, because of all the fraud. You know, people are going to be dying out there to come up with something to put major media off the air and take it over for their own propaganda or their own side. That died pretty quickly because I think that was even too extreme at the time. And I think a lot of stuff that President Obama certainly moved toward the middle. And I think he ended up after, well, getting not slapped down, that's not the truth, but found out there's certain extent. He arrived from Chicago with a boat, with a busload of known communists or self-proclaimed. They thought, no, he was not going to impose that right away, but they thought they were going to make a progressive move more than we've made. And there was opposition to that, and much of it was through media, which at that time was a little more objective than they are right now. And so he did appoint this bunch. Then they backed off. I don't know. Let me answer something here. Doug says, you can solve the Amazon fire situation in Brazil if you airlift every politician in the world and drop them off in the Amazon jungles. Don't do that because I have a son who's working in the Amazon jungles. I don't want Christian corrupted. Yeah, my son, this is in Peru. So it's the other part, a deeper part of the jungle. Chris works for a company, and part of his job is to go down and take tours through the Amazon. They have a compound up in the jungles, and he takes tourist groups down there. And it's amazing, the business that they do. So, but I don't want politicians around there.
No. Here's a good one.
Melinda says, it's strange. Only my conservative friends have any problem
with the Facebook jail. Being put into Facebook purgatory
I'm not familiar with these because I don't use Facebook.
Yeah,
with F-book jail. Anybody know why?
Coincidence.
Of course, only your conservative friends are going to have a problem with being banned from it. If you're left to run roughshod over the political spectrum, you're not going to be very upset about it. But you know, but the point is that this is already in progress right now in that media. It has not happened in radio. Now, television would be another matter because television is largely in the hands of conservative or liberal interests anyway. And television is not... Oh, this would make the comment better than I could. The Weather Channel,
right,
in polls, is regarded as the most credible truth-telling network in television.
Well,
the only one.
Can't wait to see their ratings for the last week or so. People have been glued to that station.
That, you know, oh gosh, I'm doing stream of consciousness stuff, but I saw this the other day. They had a reporter, and he's got his slicker with a hood on it, and he's standing there, and, you know, as if it's driving rain. He's got a little surf coming in, and he's moving like the wind is blowing him. He's trying to get back, and he's going through all this. Yeah. And one of the camera shots, they showed behind him up on a pier not too far away, this family, and here's the people in the resort wear shorts and T-shirts, and the kids are all waving and having fun, and he's down
there. This guy's
there.
Doing his thing,
like,
right?
He's caught in the...
doing like an Academy Award.
One time, in one of these storms, they did that, and I saw this, and it was very funny. This guy, the reporter, had been going on for hours, I mean back and forth, but he'd been there, and every time it was worse, and he actually was leaning sideways. They're saying this wind is howling, and he's doing this like I'm about to be blown away, emergency. And you can see behind him this couple walking along a boardwalk,
yes.
strolling along. So I would say even the most trusted vehicle for news may fudge a little bit sometimes.
So I got a question. You've been in this media business for decades.
60 years.
You've seen so many different... configurations on how things have gone. When you first started, the broadcast laws have changed, the ownership laws have changed over the years.
Oh, sure.
How would you compare it back then from when the consolidation began back in the 80s and
90s? It was in the late 80s, I think, they deregulated. During the Reagan administration, they deregulated.
Yep. And they
at that time, a broadcast operation was licensed to operate in the interest, convenience, and necessity of the public. Mm-hmm. There were mandatory things. You had to have mandatory religious programming. You didn't have to have a lot of it, but you had to have some. You had to have so many public service programs, local discussion programs. And they stuck you to that, the Federal Communications Commission. And you had to present that. I did, one time in Philadelphia, I was actually working at another station. And they called me from a talk station. One I was working at was not talk. And they call me from a talk station and says, are you interested in Sunday morning doing a show on religion, just having guests? And I said, well, why? And the people I work for said, yeah, go ahead. There's no conflict here. There's no problem. We were all friends. And it wouldn't conflict with anything you're doing here at our station. So I said, well, why me? And they said, well, you're the only person anybody can think of who ever read the Bible. So I had fun with it, and it wasn't...
You're qualified, extremely qualified.
Yeah, I mean, this was more or less had people in from all, you know, religious groups, and did an interview show with him.
Do you think...
But it was different, entirely different, yeah.
Do you think that individual ownership, which has gone away, the so-called mom-and-pop broadcasters, do you think the lack of mom-and-pop broadcasters have, hurt the varying voices that we all hear?
You have corporate ownership of everything now. And I'm not trying to denigrate it. It's just the way the thing
is
happening.
It's gone,
and so a few companies own everything. Now, the number one item on their agenda is profit or paying off the debt from the leverage buy, you know, whatever they're into. It's money. Back in the old days, the mom and pa days, if you want, of individual ownership, although it wasn't necessarily that. Sometimes local businesses, local insurance company would usually have a radio station,
yes,
and the local newspaper would have a radio station. But a point is that they were trying to broadcast in the interest, convenience, and necessity of the public.
Right.
They were playing, it was entirely different. And the emphasis, I mean, everybody had to make a living.
Yeah,
But there wasn't this hysterical interest on it. Especially when you get into the now the mixed media with the internet, in which every time you turn around, some commercial thing pops up.
Yeah.
You would die in those days if you did that.
Right.
If you had, they used to have a limit of so many spots an hour, and they could push it. I know when I was at WNEW in New York, the old WNEW, the original one, William B. Williams, Gene Klavan, and
great
everybody.
Station. Yeah.
Yeah, I had the great good fortune of working there for, 4 years. And we got, as a talent fee, $2 for every commercial that ran. Now, we would love to jam them in there and be all commercial. But $2 at that time, it added up. Now, right. You know, you'd laugh at it. But the thing is that they did have a limit, a definite firm limit. And this was before the deregulation. Yeah. There was a very firm limit. Instead of having 60 commercials an hour, you could have like 30 or, you know, whatever they decided they were going to do. But, yeah, it's a different game. Well, everything changes. All games change. There's nothing that doesn't change. And so you have to kind of...
Used to be that the rule was that all communities under over 100,000 people had to have a licensed broadcast facility.
And you could only only have one television and one radio station. Right. You couldn't have multiple ownership in one city.
Gone are the days where you're seeing coverage of these local council meetings or these board of ed meetings, which is what these local AM stations and these community stations used to do. I mean, you'd hear about your local official.
Yeah, well, you see, with change, people complain about change, but it's inevitable. You know, also, you could say back in the old days, you had polio, and you had much more severe racial discrimination and illnesses. There were diseases that were still rampant. So, you know, the old days were a mixed bag. I see Lou, our producer, is swinging his foot. Is this a signal? The studio?
Restless.
I think he's trying to kick us out of here.
Yeah. Restless leg syndrome?
I you know, we're pretty much running out of time here, and I had a laundry list of things.
Oh, let's hit one more thing.
Okay, what would you like to hit? I had a few politically correct things here, just so you will know. Oh, I love this one. This business of wiping out gender distinction is fascinating.
Oh, so this is where you check the X on the box, male, female, or
see,
X?
See, I'm going through a period now, after years and years and years of railing and getting upset about this and ranting, to just say, okay, I'll just sit here and watch it, because obviously after 30 years, I can't stop it. We had one victory. I thought of what it was, Bob. In 26 years, us doing the morning show. That was the red light scammer.
Okay, yes.
We failed. Grip didn't get anywhere. We didn't have the left lane Dick.
Yes.
I was trying to get people out and stop blocking the passing lane. But they did have the red light scammers, and I think we were not alone, but we were instrumental in that, because we beat hell out of that.
We got a lot of pushback on that, absolutely.
And I knew it was going, because the person who was the lobbyist for the big group that had it here was a very good man whom I liked very much, and he was a friend. And he would never try to influence me at all when I was railing against his client. But he did let it know that, you know, this doesn't look too good. I think you're making an inroad here. Let's see. Rich says, look at family-run WMCA when they went talk. You had the great Barry Gray, then one side of the political spectrum with Bob Grant, the other with Alex Bennett. I can't get over the things that I was present at. I was there the day that Bob Grant, at WMCA in New York, when Bob Grant and Alex Bennett were there, and they were trying to see, almost flipped a coin, who's going to be the conservative and who's going to be the liberal. And, of course, Bob is an absolute legend.
Yes.
That's my day. I was there in that day. I mentioned last week about being in prison for a week. You know, things that go back over the years where you just happen to be standing around. not as an inmate. Oh. Here we go. Back to where I was. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors has approved new person-first language guidelines to refer to convicted felons. Now, this is any time officially that anybody in San Francisco refers to a convicted felon. You have now to call them justice-involved persons or, quote, returning residents. Parolees will be known as, quote, people under supervision. And the official statement from the supervisor says, we don't want people to be forever labeled for the worst things that they may have done. Okay.
So now what do we... What do we call them when they have to go back into jail? Are they returning residents there as well?
You would call them yo-yo persons. it's easier than recidivism, or however you pronounce it. I had one more here, and Oh, for heaven's sakes, I got so much stuff piled up around it. Don't go away. I will find it. It was a... Let me end on a really low note. Because it reminds me of a very famous joke the Smothers Brothers used to. Remember the Smothers Brothers?
Yeah. Tommy and Dickie.
All right. Remember they did this bit of Tommy and Dick, and they had this song. And it was in I Fell Into a Vat of Chocolate. You may remember that. Some people might. Yeah, I fell into a vat of chocolate. Okay, this is a variation on that. This is the way I first heard it. An Oregon woman fell into a backyard septic tank and was trapped neck deep in raw sewage for 3 days.
Ugh.
A paramedic who helped get her out say it was a scary situation. I imagine a stinky one. Well, the old joke went, somebody, here's a guy who was walking one night. He was sort of, you know, been in the bar, been to his local. And he's on the way home, and he's walking through a farmer's field, and on Halloween, some wags had tipped over the outhouse. And this guy fell down in the hole. Stuff. And all of a sudden, he starts yelling, "Sugar! Sugar!" And somebody came, and they got him out, and they said, why were you yelling sugar? He said, well, who would have come if I'd yelled, you know, the S word? On that happy note, be well and prosper.
We'll
thank
see you,
Jim
time.
Gerhart, Bob Williams, and thank you. I hope you invite us back next week. We enjoyed your company very much.
Gerhart's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhart Podcast.